Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. I greet you. Shalom. And Jesus Christ is Lord. This is Brother Lee coming, but it's radio moment, and I submit and acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, his servant. And about to share with you a few things. I hope it be a blessing to your life. I often have been speaking about the practical side of love, the practical side of the love of God. In other words, the now and here, present, the daily practical side, the love of God. What does it do for me in the here and now? Many times we are frustrated on our journey as born again, saved, blood washed believers. And on our journey to reach the new Jerusalem of the eternal place of God in rest, there is often a missing and understanding that while we live in this life, our life is to be a mist, a drudgery, a sorrow and grief and agony, pinching pennies. But often we misunderstand, and we often or have not come to understand why we live now, in the here and now, while we're on our journey in the pathway of his righteousness. Jesus has planned good and wonderful things while we in the here and the now. Many people are missing the purpose of the gospel that redeemed us from the curse of the law, from sin and death, sickness, disease, poverty, and the lackadaisy life. Being born again, washed in the blood, we are now, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, the new creation. The old creation in Adam, sin, death, sorrow, and grief ruling our lives, we are set free when Jesus Christ becomes Savior, Redeemer. We're in the family of God. We are in the redeemed. We're called the body of Christ. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians calls us, now we have been joined in Christ by the Holy Spirit, by faith in his death on the cross and his resurrection victory. We are now been reconciled to God by faith, hallelujah, through the Holy Spirit. So today, what does the love of God mean to me? How does it help me in the here and now? Many times people think that they just have to accept everything, the devil, every drudgery, every evil affliction and sorrow that the devil comes against us, life comes against us, and we misunderstand that the Lord has planned, Jesus the Christ, the Holy One of Israel, has planned a good life for us. Where? In the here and now. In other words, tasting of heaven while we now live, tasting of the benefit before we get to that final destination. Now, this is why the Bible indicates, and all of us need to read the book of Hebrews concerning the covenant of promise. One of the few books that we read and study, I found myself ignoring it when the Lord was trying to draw my attention to it at the early stage of my development in Christ, but I just seemed to ignore it. But in the book of Hebrews, the Holy Spirit will unfold and unveil to you the covenant of God with his church and his believers. Because he made a covenant with Israel of old, but now when Jesus comes, we have a new covenant of promises. Every redeemed child in Christ, every redeemed, delivered child in the family of God, born of the Holy Spirit, washed in the blood, has immensely promises about the here and now. I know the goal is to reach heaven and to have life and have it abundantly. That's the ultimate goal and the most important goal, but let's not miss it. Let's not miss what he has for us in the here and now. The here and now. Now, I'm going to have to talk to talk, a face-to-face, down-the-earth talk, not a sermon. We hear sermons so often, we think everything has to be a sermon and a preaching. But do you know that Jesus, and when he made the first man, they would have conversation. Jesus often would have conversation with his children, and he doesn't want to preach a sermon to us. He just want to communicate with us, his heart. And sometimes most Christians don't take time to appoint a time to have a chat with their dad, with the father. They're so busy being religious, thinking they have to go through all these processes just to talk to him. And so they put on a religious show, like how to, you know, the religious title, how to show. No, just talk to him. He wants to talk to you, like he did Adam. We come down, they would talk and commune, sit and talk. Set a time to your daddy. You know, you're like your earthly father. Your mother oftentimes will set you aside and have a time to have a talk, family talk. Well, that's what your heavenly father wants to do. In Christ, if you're in Christ. When you're in sin, away from God, he often will speak to different ways to you to get you to make a decision. He'll send people to you, or he'll send sometimes dreams and visions and catastrophe in your life to get your attention. But his children has the advantage of a covenant relationship to have a chat every day with their Lord, with their father, with their friend called Jesus. He wants to have a chat with you. No, you don't have to put on old special garment and get all religious and go to a certain, but you can set aside a place in your home, especially that you would chat with God. You can set aside a consecrated place that you want to meet with him. It's okay. And oftentimes, you want to get up and talk to him in bed. Talk to him laying down. Talk to him. You know, you sit in your chair. Talk to him a time to bow before him and worship him. These times are precious. He desires his children to have these chats with him. I wonder, he longs for his children. This is why he often came down to Adam. As it said, they use an expression in the cool of the day, but that was not hot. That's not what it means when it used that expression. When it's translated out of the original language, they use the term in the cool of the day, but it's not talking about the weather when it made that expression. He wants to communicate with you and stay in communicating with you because not only do they communicate, he lives in you. This is the thing we got to understand in the New Testament. God lives in his people. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, actually lives inside of you. Hallelujah. This is what they didn't have in the New Old Testament. But now he said, I'll come and make my abode with you, and your body and will become the temple of the living God, and I will dwell in you and walk in you and live in you. That's the big advantage of the New Testament. Oh, that's the big advantage that we have in Christ that they didn't have in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Intimacy relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ. Now, today I'm going to share with you the here and now, the practical side. Now, I'm not going to have a sermon. If you want a sermon, the brothers will be on it probably on 7 o'clock. Every day, most of the day, and they would have a teaching and a sermon. Me, I'm not too much into sermon thing. God has those people for the sermons. But I do have moments that God give me to share the good news of the gospel, to communicate the gospel, sometime in a teaching manner, sometime in a prophetic manner, sometime in a worship manner. Everybody got that particular calling. I'm not too much, and I go to the streets. I often in the streets where the people are hurting, and they drive away places from door to door, corner to corner, place to place. That's my heart. That's my heart. Where the people are laying, trouble and distress, walking the streets, in trouble, the young people don't know direction. People are thinking that the more alcohol they drink, the more cigarettes or the more hemp or marijuana drugs they get, that will solve their problem. Some people think that going to the racetrack will solve their financial problem, or to the lottery, or to the gambling boat. But I'm here to tell you, no, that's not the plan. That's not God's way. He has a better way. I said he has a better way. Satan's got a way. The world's got a way, but Jesus got a better way. I just want to say, if you want to learn what God's way is, pick up the book, start reading it. You'll find out his ways and not our ways. Now, I want to share with you the practical side, the here and now. You know, we have so much darkness and chaos and conflict and wars and plagues and winds and storms and hurricanes filling the earth, because this is the hour of God's judgment, because man has turned his back on him. And so he's got to wake up. God's got to send judgment or let judgment come to try to wake us up. Now, we have the wrong impression and idea that the true and the living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, often called Jehovah and Yahweh in the Old Testament, but he gave us a name to the Christians with a new covenant, that's the name that's above every name, Acts 4 and 12. So there is a name. Philippians talks about that name which is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, his Lord and head of his church, the New Testament church. And he's the one that's coming back in the clouds of heaven. Now, if you don't think that the name of the person of the Lord Jesus is important, do you not know that the only authoritative power of one person that could raise the dead, heal the sick, open blind eyes, command storms, wind and storm, that created all things, John chapter 1, the Gospel of 1, it was the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. That's in the Hebrew. In the language we speak, English, Jesus the Christ. That demons only recognize. Now, in the 16th chapter of Mark, if you think that the name of Yeshua, Jesus Christ, is not a name that is above every name in heaven and in earth, go and deal with demons or witches or warlocks on earth and see would they recognize any other person or any other name or any other authority of any name. They will not. You have an example in the 8th chapter of Acts and the 16th chapter of Acts. If the demons do not recognize any other name or any other authority or power, what do you think? If demons and evil and powers of darkness only recognize one name, one power, one authority, and one person behind that name. Now, you can solve the dilemma about all different religions, which is the true religion of the eternal God. You can solve that. Demons, sickness, disease, poverty, death. Jesus stepped up to Lazarus' grave in the 11th chapter of John after he was dead for 4 days. 4 days. And he commanded life, and he raised him from the dead, and he said, I am the life and the resurrection. Now, if you think any other religions outside of the Lord Jesus Christ and the death of the cross and the blood has any validity, you go and see, can they do what Jesus did and what the apostles did and what he's still doing in the earth today? Then you won't have to be confused. Jesus said, I am the way, John 14, I am the way. A lot of people are walking around confused. Well, in religion, no. Jesus did not come to give you religion, believe it. I'm sorry. I got to apologize. He did not come to give you religion. He came that you might have life and that you might have redeemed life, be redeemed from sins, which has spiritual death through Adam, and be brought back to God and relationship as sons and daughters. John chapter 1 and 12, first epistle of John in the 5th chapter, the Gospel of John chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Romans chapter 3, 2, 8. If you want to take the time to read and check behind me and see whether I'm telling you a truth or I'm lying to you, I give you these scriptures to check and see whether I'm telling you the truth. Always go and check. I don't care who, how great the person is, how anointed, how title they have. Go and check. For my word is a light and a lamp to thy path. My word is truth. Jesus said, my word abideth forever. So go and check behind me. I challenge you to check whatever I say. Go back in the Bible. Check and recheck. Check in the Holy Ghost. Check in the prophets and the Psalms, mostly in the gospel and the apostolic teaching. Check me. Check me. Don't just take my word. Don't take any man's word. I know you love your pastor. You should respect them and honor them as long as they follow Christ and the word of God. But go and check. Don't put your trust only in what man says. You go and check. You can check by the blood. Check by the word of God. Check by the gospel. Check in the Holy Ghost. Check by the fruits. Check. Run a check. So I'm telling you to check behind me. I'm challenging you. You must check in these last days. So much deception, so much deceivers, so much traditions of men. You must check the word of God, the gospel. It's a tour, your advantage, and you must check, lest you be led, misled. Yes, check me. I challenge everyone to check. Now, some people don't always understand me. Like, I put a lot of some things on Facebook, and sometimes I'm not saying completely accurate, but a few things. But I always stay online with the pillars of truth. I never waver from the pillars of the gospel. As long as you stay on the pillars and the principles of the gospel, every one of them, you're on good ground. Jesus said, upon this rock I build my church. The rock is talking about the gospel, his life, his death, and his resurrection, and him being the head of the church. Now, I put a lot of things on Facebook, and some people get disgruntled. And so I say, if you find mistakes or failures or anything that's contrary to the gospel, bring it to my attention. I'll correct it, and I ask you to forgive me. But if you don't find anything contrary to the pillars and the principle of the gospel, well, you better be kind of cautious, because I don't agree with your teaching. But if it's according to the pillars of what Jesus and the prophets and what the apostles said, then I'm on good ground. I don't want to fight with people. I don't want to offend people, but I'm going to stay on good ground, on solid rock of truth. As long as Jesus' words back it up, the apostles' word and the prophets back up, then I'm on good ground. Now, there are some areas that people have controversy in Christianity. I tell you to humble yourself and search the scripture and ask the Holy Spirit. If you lack wisdom, let him ask the God. That's what I tell you to do about that. Because the Bible says in James, if any man lack wisdom of God, let him ask the God. Let him ask him God, not wavering, but really sincere heart and believing that you'll get an answer. And your Bible says, seek and you shall find. Now, you don't have to disagree with whatever, you don't have to agree with everything I say, but just go search it out. That's all I tell you. And if you don't think that it's according to the scripture, then lay it aside. Lay it aside. I'm not mad at you. Because even though I believe that God wants his people to be perfect, I believe that he don't want you to be perfect. You won't be perfect in every deed that you do. But I know that your heart has to be perfect before God. And so I believe that. I believe that Jesus come to give us a perfect heart towards God, and a perfect love, and a perfect grace, and light, and truth, because Jesus is our righteousness, and he's our perfection. No, I don't have any, but he is my perfection, and he's perfecting me every day. The here and now is important, because many Christians, those who are truly born of God, and born of the word of God and born by the Spirit of God, and those that are filled with the Holy Ghost have been reconciled and sanctified, justified, and purified, who are in the family of God, I greet you. I'm in line with you. I'm in a covenant with you all over the world. You're my brothers. You're my sisters. Now, some people are my brothers and sisters. They're in different segments of Christianity, and there may be some Baptists that are Methodists or Lutherans that may be in the family of God, but may not be completely their understanding and teaching. But as long as they're in the pillar of redemption and reconciliation and justification in Christ, they are my brothers and sisters. I don't let other people tell me from their opinion. I go by the scriptures. If the scripture says it, then I'm on good ground. If Jesus said it, I'm on good ground. I don't argue with anybody more. I just say, go search the scriptures. Show me my error. Show me my failure. Show me. Give me the light of the word. If I'm on the pillars of God, I'm on the principle of the gospel. I may make some error mistakes in some areas, but as long as I'm on the pillars of the gospel, Eloshata, I don't fret. I don't worry. Now, do you not know and understand in the here and now, in the everyday where you see the world and the nations falling apart and war and sorrow and grief and suffering everywhere among all nations, and the end is soon, the end of all nations is at hand, and the kingdom of God is being preached by some, and the kingdom of Christ being preached by some. But the kingdom, but the repentance and redemption without the kingdom of God message is also being preached, which is good. Salvation in Christ, new birth and redemption in the cross. But the message of the kingdom of God is the last message. Matthew 24:14. You will see that the last message that Jesus said will be preached before he returns. Hallelujah. Just before the great tribulation hit us. We're at that door now. I want you to understand in the here and now, I want you to know the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like medicine. Do you think that you're supposed to, God wants his children to be sad and troubled and distressed and oppressed? No, brother, sister. That is not what he got in plan when he went to that cross to redeem us and deliver us and rose on the third day to deliver us and reckon. No, something is missing. God, while you live in the here and now, he wants you to have a joyful heart. Heal all over Shaka. That's the will of your Father. He wants you to have joy in your life every day. Oh, you've been told something else. I know you're going to be about to, I'm going to get to the persecution and the trouble and the disappointment that you're going to have to face. But I'm going to tell you in the beginning that the will of God in Christ and the Holy Scripture from Abraham, from the beginning of the Bible, through all the sin and trouble, that his redeemed people, he has planned for you shall have a joyful life in the here and now. You say, yeah, but you don't know all the troubles I got. But if you submit it to Christ and yield your heart to Christ and yield your life to Jesus Christ to walk in him, his purpose, his plan to show you that you are to live in joy. Joy. Now, you can have a joyful life. Then he tells you about how to get the joy of the Lord in your life. Then the joy of the Lord is different a little than the joy of this life, because you can have a merry heart and a positive attitude and be a modest like many people, and they can have a better life. But a joyful Lord, a joyful heart in Christ is a step different. Nehemiah chapter 8 says to God's people, his covenant people, to Israel and to us, the joy of the Lord is the joy of the Lord. Now, we're going to the joy of the Lord. Now, the joy of life, you can get certain type of joy in this life, but you missing the greatest joy is the joy of the Lord Jesus and the life in the Holy Spirit. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You know why many people are weak physically and emotionally and mentally problems? Because they're allowing sorrow, grief, disappointment, a bleak life rule every day in their thoughts and in their lives. Yeah, but you don't understand. Yeah, I know. I know. We all, I've been there. Surely I know. And Jesus went there, and all the prophets and everybody in the human family has been there at one time. But I'm talking about a new life. The here and now, where you live, that he intended for you to have a joyful heart, a joyful life, every day. He said, I don't believe that. We don't teach that. We don't believe that in the church. I ain't had no joyful life. I had all kind of, well, here's the thing where you're going to have to make a decision. I said, this is the day of decision. You're either going to believe what the word of God says, the gospel says, or you're going to have to believe someone or somebody else. You got to make a decision. If you want the fruit of what God wants, you're going to have to make a decision to line up with the word, line up with the commands of God. God cannot lie. His word not fail. Now, listen to me now. Listen to me and check this out. You want to take time to check this out and read the book. It is God's instruction. It's God's manual. It's God's word. It's God's light. It's God's plan. It's God's purpose. It's God's revelation to mankind. The book. The book that the devil don't want you to read and study and see. That traditions of men tell, well, I tell you, you ain't got to study. Well, that's not scripture. The Bible says, search the scripture, meditate in the scripture. It says, study the scriptures. Well, yes, it says that. As a believer, you better be studying the scripture. You better read the scripture, and you better meditate in the scripture day and night. Psalms 1, chapter 1. Now, if you're missing something great, the here and now, God intends that you to have joy in your life. I said a joyful life. I'm going to read something here a couple of scriptures, that your life is tended to have joy in Christ and have a joyful life. You know, there's some people, even though they don't have Christ, they know how to keep a positive attitude and a merry heart and a joyful heart about life, and they have a better situation in their life. Every time you see them, they're grateful, they have a thankful attitude, or they have a merry attitude, a positive attitude. Even though they don't have Christ, they're not redeemed. In this world, in this life, there are some people you see that, before you said, they don't let that bother them. They don't let that bother them because they take a positive attitude of faith, not to worry, not to fret, but have a joyful and a blessed life. And they, because they take that positive attitude, they go through life much better and have a more joyful in life. The joy of the Lord is the advantage of the believers. There is a deposit of joy in heaven for every believer. Do you want to draw on that deposit? When you go to the bank, you know, you say, I'm drawing on my deposit that I deposit in the bank. Well, you have a deposit in heaven. You have a deposit in the Holy Spirit, in the Word of God, in life that Jesus has planned for every believer. Do you want to tap in and draw from that deposit of joy? And so that every day of your life is meant to be joyful, even in the face of disappointment and sorrow and grief. If you would obey and do what the Lord said in his word and take actions, you would have this joyful life. But if you want to believe the traditions and opinions of man and religion, then you can believe that. You can have that. That's what you choose. But I'm going to tell you, in the light of the scripture, which God has given us, that we might know the truth, and the truth might set us free from a drudgery, disappointing, sad, bewildered, disappointed life, and just every day is a miserable, no good. The devil would like for you to live that and miss the here and now, the disappointment, how to deal with disappointment, how to deal with sorrow, how to deal with sadness. In the midst of it, you can know joy even in the midst of it. You know what the Lord God planned, and he gave Israel an opportunity to understand this? Let's go to Psalms. In the 9th chapter of Ecclesiastes, he tells you in verse 7 that eat your bread with joyfulness. Now, this is talking to the ordinary person. Now, listen. Even though they are not saved or don't have the joy of the Lord, he gives a plan to even human beings who have not tapped in or come into the joy of the Lord the eternal joy of having Jesus Christ in their life, the joy, the peace that surpasses all understanding. He tells us in Ecclesiastes that as he speaks to the human condition of man on the earth, he said, eat your bread with joyfulness. Wow. You mean in my life, my daily things that I, in this life, I'm to have a goal body with a joyful attitude? He said, yes, take the joyful ride. Take the joyful attitude. You notice those people, they're not oppressed and depressed. I know some people take a step in sin and they try to break alcohol and drugs, but that's not, that's death. That's destruction. It may give you a few moments, what you call sensuality, of pleasure, but in it is the sting of death. This is what Satan gives you in a substitute. We call it pleasure, sensual pleasure. But the Lord gives you joy and give you joy of life that does not work for your destruction, but for your good. Be joyful. He said, eat the bread. And then he goes on to say, your wife and your family, of you, be rejoiceful. Some people are married in sorrow and grief for the last 50 years. They're in a relationship, in a marriage that's torn apart by differences and grief and disingenuousness, and they're just miserable all their life. That's not will of God for our life. I'm talking about wife and husband now. I'm not talking about shacking up and drudging up. I'm talking about the marriage covenant. That's God's ultimate plan for marriage, for relationship. Psalms 16, the here and now. Do you want to have joy and a joyful relationship? Do you want to have the joy of the Lord in your life? Do you want to have the joy that comes from above, that in the bosom of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? Do you want that joy? Do you want to add that joy? Well, David said something here in the 16th chapter of Psalms that should be intriguing to you in the here and now, to all that want that deposit of heavenly joy. The earthly joys of life, they're good. You know, things that bring joy to your life in this world, that's okay, as long as it's not in sin and wickedness, because that's going to destroy you. But we can have joy every day. People often, you know, the one time the Lord had a hard time get to me when I first came to Christ, I was just so diligent about warning people and witnessing people and taking all my time. He wanted me, but then he wanted me to, hey, take it easy. I got other people. Take a vacation. No, I can't take no vacation, Lord. And he kept trying to show me rest. Take a vacation. Enjoy yourself. And I said, no, I can't do that. Ain't got time for that. The Lord wants me to have joyful life. Hallelujah. He wants you to have a joyful life in Christ. You don't have to go to no Las Vegas and gamble. That ain't no. I don't have to go to no pornography and strip club. That's not the joy of the Lord. That's a sensual pleasure that demons offer you and devils offer you. But the Lord said, take a vacation. And I went to the Bahamas with my wife, and I got there, and I needed the rest. I need the time aside to have joy with my wife, and we were there, and our kids, and somebody kept our children, and a sister that we trusted, or a sister that we knew in Christ that we trusted with our kids, that we trusted, we know her reputation, her standing, her conviction, that we trusted our kids with her. We don't trust our kids with anybody. No, don't go there. Please don't trust your kids with anybody or anyone. That is very unwise. But we trusted as I went on vacation in the Bahamas, and I got there, and I needed to rest my emotions, my body, my life, and we just enjoyed ourselves. No, we didn't go to no casino. We walked by the casino while we was in the Bahamas. The devils were putting us to go in there, but the devil is a liar. I didn't go in that big casino in Bahamas, and the people were watching us in the hotel. Said, we've been watching you. We said, y'all Christians, we've been watching y'all since I've been here. Didn't I see you go in that casino? So I didn't get mad. I didn't get angry. I said, no, sir, you didn't see me. Oh, yeah. I said, no, you didn't see me. I'm just checking you out. I'm just checking you out. I said, I know. He was the backslider. So he was checking us out. He's watching. These backsliders are watching you. Hallelujah. Now, fullness of joy. Do you not know, as David says in Psalms, wow, this might blow your gasket and blow the gasket of many, quote, religious people who, not understanding what real life in Christ is all about in the here and now. Psalms 16. Let me blow your gas to believers. Verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. What is the path to this? This now and here joy and victory that we can have in this world where we live on our way to heaven. Listen what it says, the intent of the eternal God, your Father, through Jesus Christ. Psalms 16, verse 11. Thou wilt show me, this is David, his beloved, man after his own heart, the king of Israel. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now, before we even get to heaven, where the complete fullness of everything is, hallelujah, because there'll be no sadness, no joy, no sorrow, no grief, of course, when we get to heaven. But we can experience in the kingdom of God. That's why he said, pray that the kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. We can experience as people of the kingdom of God, what are the here and now benefits while we live in this life? Thou wilt show me. Are you willing to be shown today the pathway? Thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence. Who's present? Present of the living God daily, walking in his presence, walking in the light of the Holy Spirit. In thy presence is fullness of joy. You can walk in such a closeness with Christ. You can walk in such a dedication, commitment to the Lord daily, that your life will be running over with joy. But you, sin and iniquity and rebellion can hinder that. If you're trying to live two lives and trying to serve two masters, it won't work. Yes, I know. The devil is a very, very subtle, cunning, tricky fellow. He wants us to cheat us out of everything. In the here and now, you're to have joy with fullness. I want you to understand that even in difficulty, I want you to understand what it says as a part of being the kingdom of God. In the here and now is your right, your privilege. Christ has paid and purchased that when he says, it is finished, it is done, your way was made, the victory was won, the call goes out, come unto me, all ye heavy laden, and I will give you rest and peace. I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. John 10. This abundance of joy and life. Jesus said, the devil come to kill, steal, destroy, make you miserable, afflict you, bind you, and upset you, and take you out of life. But Jesus said in John 10, I have come that you might have life. Whose life? Not the old life of sin, iniquity, of Adam. I'm going to give you a new life. Call it in my son, Jesus the Christ. I come that you might have life and have it in the abundance. So what is the area he wants to have the abundance of joy? Is one of the things of love and peace. Yes. This is the pathway that he designed through the cross, through the blood, when you come to him. Don't let life, don't let people, don't let Satan, don't let nothing keep you from this joyful life in the here and now. Listen. I want you to know in Romans chapter 14 and 10, Paul explains the church was going to be persecuted, being killed and murdered and mortared. How can you have joy? But they did. Even in martyrdom and suffering and persecution, they had joy, the joy of the Lord. Oh, well, you're going to learn that nothing can steal your joy, the joy of the Lord, unless you allow it to. Life, problem, disappointment knocks on your door. I have assurance, so I will rejoice for my God. What? I will get through it. I will have the victory. I will overcome so I can rejoice. My God will not fail. His word is true. I have the assurance, and so I can rejoice, even though you don't know why I'm rejoicing, because he promised me the victory in everything. Romans 14 and 10. The kingdom of God, it's not merely just activities of eating and drinking and things on this life or eating and having. It is much greater than that. When you're part of the kingdom of God in Christ and the king of your life and the gospel of the kingdom is a part of your daily living, the kingdom of God, it consists of joy, peace, righteousness, peace in the Holy Ghost. Now you need the Holy Spirit now. You don't need religion. You need the Spirit of Christ and the fullness of Christ overflowing. Now, a lot of people get upset because in the book of Acts, they were filled, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and they spoke in languages and prophesied, and people said, I don't want that. Well, you don't have to have that. You can reject anything that you don't want from God. God ain't going to force you to accept nothing. He's not going to force anything on you. Just like I'm offering you a way, the pathway, I'm not going to force it upon you. I'm offering it to you. The peace and joy, the kingdom of God. Now, as believers, the fullness of joy is yours. Wow. In the here and now, you mean in disappointment? Do you know what Jesus said himself? He was beaten, whooped, accused falsely, stripped, run out of town, called a liar, a false prophet, a blasphemer. He never fight of his father and his purpose on earth. See, the devil wants you to get so miserable so that you'll lose your real purpose and walk away from God. But the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your great access in your daily life. You can have joy. Now, when you go into Philippians 4, it's amazing about the believers. But Jesus said something in the fifth chapter before he left the earth and told his disciples. He says in the fifth chapter in his sermon, or what you call a teaching about the kingdom life on the earth, the here and now, you'll find it in the fifth chapter of Matthew 6 and 7, when he tells you about the kingdom children, where and how they should live, how they should walk, to have this joy. Now, that's the pathway. Matthew 5, 6 and 7. That's the pathway. That's the door and entrance way to have this joy every day, the joyful life. The here and now. The devil wants you to be miserable because he's miserable. I said, the devil wants you to be miserable because he's miserable. He knows he's going to hell like a fire. He missed God. He's suffering. He has no joy, no peace, no love, no hope, nothing. The Lord came and gave it to, and Jesus came to give those that would come to him this light, this joy, this peace, this righteousness in the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth. Now, hey, listen to what it says in the here and now. Guess in case you want to find this pathway. And this is positive in heaven. The Lord has the poverty in heaven in Christ for his church and his people. Iniquity and sin and any unrighteousness will devaluate the joy of the Lord. So any known rebellion in your life, any known sin against the word of God, humble yourself and say, Lord, I don't want that. And I confess and I want that removed and I want to be cleansed and forgiven and washed from that in my life. First John chapter 1, chapter 2. And that impedes your joy and your progress. So get rid of it. It's like garbage. Throw it out. But you have to come to Christ to get rid of it. Jesus will remove it from your life. And by faith, he'll blot it out. And say, now, let my joy be full and ring in your life. In the fourth chapter, in the here and now, the practical side of God's love and the practical side of walking with God in this life. He does not want you to be
heavy burdens with the cares of this life. You're going to have them, but you don't want them dominating, controlling, and dictating your life. You're going to have to, they're going to come. Disappointment, sorrow, grief, going to come. But here's the assurance. You know why a lot of people, they're not worried because they say, I got $250,000 worth of insurance, or I got this in Wall Street, I got these these bonds, and I got this thing, so I'm in good shape, speaking from an earthly wise. But when you have a great assurance that cannot fail, those things that they're putting in can fail. The bank can fail, the company can fail, the money, you know, can fail. But here is one thing, beloved, where you can walk in joy. None of the promises of God will default or fail. If you lay hold on them, he would always back up his word. Even if Mr. Trump and the government would fail. So if you're looking totally upon that, you're going to have some really empty and sorrowful days. But your assurance comes from him. Your great assurance comes when you hear the word of truth and the gospel to renew your assurance. That's why you have to hear the preached word, the taught word, the prophetic word, the intercessory word, and read the word and study the word to build and keep your assurance and your joy full. Are you going to do that? Well, no, you don't have to do it. You can keep on doing. But if you want the joyful life, the Lord wants you to have a joy with your wife and your children and the family. No, it's not against God for you to take a vacation or go to a resort or take time out to enjoy the things of life that are good and excellent. That is no, if they're good and excellent and clean and righteous good things, no, not the boat. Las Vegas going there to gamble, see the light? No, that's not included in the package. He got something greater, more thing that will magnify and speak of his goodness in your life. When Jesus kept you in that Las Vegas gambling, Jesus is not there. So what are you doing there? Is he it? Oh, well, okay. If you want the joy of the Lord and the joys of life, Paul, who's persecuted, and suffered more than any Christian in his day, said, rejoice in the Lord. Philippians 4:4. Believers, he gave us command. This man who was constantly in jail for the gospel, beaten, ran out of town, ready almost to give his life up for the gospel, is telling you the secret of the overcoming Christian. He says, I say unto you, Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord. Do you make it a habit? Are you just walking what you call a feeling Christians, an emotional Christian, and everything look all right, then you rejoice, or things seem all right, then you rejoice? No, that's not real victory. That's not real faith. That's not real joy. That's superficial. But when you have the joy of assurance from God and his word, every day of your life, you have a reason to rejoice. Paul says, in the face of all odds and difficulties in this life, he's telling the overcoming Christian who has the assurance of Christ in them, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice in the Lord. Well, who is most qualified to teach you this suffering, martyred Christian man called Paul the Apostle, who had been run out of most of the cities and put in jail and in the sea and been beaten and whipped for the gospel? How can he say again, I say, in my persecution, in my test, I rejoice to suffer for the gospel? And I have joy because the hope that I have, which is before me. See, if you have a living hope before you, you can rejoice in anything because the hope that you have in eternity. No matter what happens to you, your assurance is I have a better merit of hope in eternity is not based upon the things of this life only, but eternity with my Lord. And I will rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Now, if you make a category assessment and believing what God says in His Word, and here and now, I will rejoice in the Lord. Stop believing. Exercise your faith like the saints did in Hebrews. And turn your eyes upon the Lamb of God daily. And lift your hands or your fingers or just your, lift your eyes up to heaven and say, I will rejoice because what Jesus has done for me on Calvary, what Jesus gave, he was wounded for my transgression, bruised for my iniquity, the chastisement of my peace was upon him. Isaiah 52, then cause your joy and cause your heart to jump and leap with joy. And here and now, because of what Christ has done for you, the payment he paid, the life he gave, the hope he gave unto you, he said rejoice every day. I said rejoice in every situation, every face persecuted, disappointed. This is the faith. This is the commitment to find the joy and have joy every day, even in the face of persecution and hatred and bitterness. I say, Paul says, rejoice always in the Lord. Wow. Are you sure, Paul? Yes. I joy in tribulation. Romans 5. You mean he joy in tribulation? I draw in tests. I draw when sorrow comes, when they beat me and whoop me. The apostles, when they was beaten in the 4th and 5th chapter, after, they went away rejoicing. What kind of joy is that beyond the human, beyond the earthly thinking? It said the apostles, when they were beaten for the gospel's sake, they went away rejoicing that they would lift their hands and rejoice. They counted joy. I said they counted joy to suffer for the gospel for righteousness' sake. Now, if you suffer for being wicked and doing wrong and evil, you know that's you don't have no reason to rejoice in that except that you turn away from that and repent and then find joy. But they rejoiced because they were beaten and whipped for his name and for his word's sake and for his gospel, and they went away, the apostles, the Lord Jesus and Peter and all of them, and they lifted their hands and rejoiced. And then they went down to the men together as they were whooping, beating it, and they were forbidden to preach to the name of Jesus. Why do people, the devil, hate that name, Jesus the Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach? Everywhere in the world, demons and devils don't want the gospel, don't want Jesus to be preached. Even in America now, they hate that righteous and holy name of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach. Whoa, the devil knows he's the one. Satan knows something that many believers and many blind sinners don't know, that Jesus the Christ is the one to bring joy and eternal life to you and hope. Paul says, him being a suffering, persecuted Christian, learn to rejoice and be glad. This is the secret to a better emotional state and a mental state in your heart, and your health will be better. When you begin to have a merry heart and rejoice, your whole physical health begin to improve. If you want a secret, Christians, to settle your mind and your emotions and your mental and your physical part, why don't you make a challenge to rejoice and be glad in the Lord? Make a decision, like Paul says, in the here and now, that I'm going to be joyful, for I have an assurance and a word that sinners and ungodly don't have. I have a deposit of joy in heaven every day waiting for me to tap in. I will rejoice and be glad in it and in him. Oh, I will rejoice. And your money problems and your physical problems and your sorrows, your family problem will begin to change in the here and now when you're in Christ and facing a mirage of problems and disappointment. Turn your eyes and cast all your cares upon Jesus. As 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, cast all your cares and burdens at his feet and begin to rejoice because he's your Father. He will handle it and deal with it. Now go on rejoicing as if you believe him. And if you can't rejoice until you see it happen, that means you're not exercising faith. But if you really believe and know that he's faithful and true, start rejoicing. And every day of your life, choose a corner, and I will rejoice in the Lord. And I'll find a reason to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For my Lord, Jesus, is the answer in the here and now and in the days to come and eternity. I will be blessed. Psalms 34 said, David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. What if you, as a Christian, begin to obey Psalms 34? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continue to be in my mouth. Saints, what's in your mouth every day? You want to turn the tides of your health, your emotional and mental health, and your sickness and your disease? Pick up what David said, Psalms 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, what's in your mouth every day that's depleting your joy and your hope and giving Satan leeway in your life to oppress you? It's what's coming out of your mouth. Why don't you plant the word of God in your heart and release what the word of God said? David said in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord Jehovah at all times. His praises, Jesus my rock. His praises, Jesus my deliverer, my redeemer. His praises, he brought me out of darkness into marvelous. He praises unto the Lord Jesus my rock every day. Pick a spot, pick a time, and said, I will rejoice in the Lord. Walking away, washing the dishes, laying down. You will see a change in your health, in your financial condition, in your family condition. Satan won't hang around. Problems won't hang around. Jesus said, enter the pathway of life and have joy and victory every day. Now, as we close, you may find yourself in a situation, family situation, marriage, job, financial, physical sickness. You know that when you start rejoicing, healing starts flowing in your body in the Lord. When you stay positive, a merry heart is like medicine. Do you know the person that has a merry heart and joyful spirit? It's like medicine to his spirit and to his body and his life. It ministers to him, the ions. They can even actually, doctors can see and what's taking place in your body when a person is joyful of faith. Make merry and rejoice in Christ. And even life and all things would change. But most of all, make him your Lord and your Savior. Commit your life. Sinners, call upon him and say, Lord, save me. Give me that life that you promised in the word. Fullness of joy. Victory. He loves you. He died for you. Jesus gave his life that you might know the joyful life, the life full of love and peace and holiness in Christ. Love you now. Be blessed.